Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
The head of the FBI had a stark warning for Americans this week as we watch the war in Ukraine rage a world away. There is serious concern over the possibility of Russian cyber attacks against critical U.S. infrastructure.
I think the principal threat, frankly, is to the private sector.
J. Charles Johnson should know. He was the U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security in the Obama administration from 2013 to 2017.
Protection of cybersecurity is as important as physical safety these days, given the extent to which we depend upon systems online for how we do business, our privacy, how we shop, how we apply for schools, for example.
This week on 880 In-Depth, a discussion about the threat of cyber attack against the U.S., its critical infrastructure, our businesses, and our citizens.
It seems like the potential scenarios could make a good Hollywood movie about power grid going down or flight control systems going down. To you.
Well, I mean, that's not a movie. that could be reality given the interconnected nature of our systems.
Welcome to 880 In Depth. I'm Tim Scheld. Jay Johnson doesn't sugarcoat it. The threat of cyber attack in the U.S. by foreign actors is real. And while the war in Ukraine has certainly raised our awareness, this threat has been building, he says, for years, even decades. We spoke to the former Homeland Security Secretary, now a lawyer in private practice, to get his in-depth perspective on it. Jay Johnson spoke to our Peter Haskell in a conversation that centered on how the threat of a Russian cyber attack could come in a number of forms.
One cyber threat is implanting malware in various systems and then pulling the trigger on that malware at any given moment. Malware can lie latent in a system for days, weeks, months, and then the bad actor can simply activate it to hijack data, degrade a system. That's one form of attack. Another form of attack is through an act of what we refer to as spear phishing, where the bad actor gains access to a system because a user of the system mistook the bad actor for somebody else and let them in the gate. And through that, you can hijack data, you can degrade a system, you can steal data and then demand ransomware, a concept that we're all familiar with these days. So there are these various forms of potential attacks, and our government is correct to warn us about what they are seeing right now.
Do you think the greater threat is to a government system or to a private system like a utility or banking or something else?
I think the principal threat, frankly, is to the private sector. Something like 80% of critical infrastructure in this country is in private hands, not government hands. Cybersecurity, therefore, is inevitably a public and private endeavor. those in the private sector, in financial services, in the defense industry, in energy, have a responsibility and a duty, which I'm sure they recognize, to protect their own systems, to protect their own cybersecurity, because much of critical infrastructure is something the public depends upon. So the principal cyber threat is to the private sector.
There's been talk of Russia basically trying to scan for vulnerabilities. If we find these things, what will that tell us?
Well, scanning for vulnerabilities is not new. We are in a heightened alert posture right now, but scanning for vulnerabilities is something that we see on an ongoing basis. I know that from when I was in office, reading daily reports on what the bad guys are up to. Scanning and probing is typical. I am not surprised that we are hearing now from the government that this activity seems to be intensifying, and there seem to be preparatory measures being undertaken, according to our government, by the Russian government. Therefore, we have to all be on heightened alert. Those who are the managers of cybersecurity and critical infrastructure in particular need to take a hard look at what their current vulnerabilities are, whether or not malware may be lying latent in their systems right now. There are cyber experts, cyber firms that can help with that, because we are in a heightened alert status, very definitely.
When it comes to these private entities like utilities, a couple of things. First of all, how prepared are they? How seriously do they take this? And the second thing is, should the government set standards for at least a kind of minimal resistance?
So, three things. Number one, there are vast differences in the levels of sophistication when it comes to cybersecurity. Some businesses, some firms in finance, in defense, in energy, for example, are very, very sophisticated, almost as sophisticated as our own government is. Now, the other thought I have in response to your question is that we are increasingly interconnected when it comes to critical infrastructure, when it comes to our systems, because of the internet and otherwise, we are increasingly interconnected. That was brought home to us with the Colonial Pipeline incident, where because of an attack, the entire line in the East Coast was shut down. Gas prices as far north as the Washington, D.C. area shot up. So we are an increasingly interconnected society. When it comes to minimum standards, yes, I believe that our government, our Congress, should try again to enact legislation that will bring about certain minimum protections for our cybersecurity. We regulate air safety, we regulate road safety, we regulate issues of safety around chemical plants and so forth. Why not cyber as well, given the importance it plays in society? The more sophisticated actors in the private sector are already doing much of this, but regulating certain basic minimum standards, it seems to me, makes a lot of common sense, given the importance of cybersecurity in our society today.
Take that one step further, if you could. What difference would that make if there were minimum standards?
It would encourage, if not mandate, the less sophisticated actors out there, and there are a number of them, to bring their systems up to speed. Because of the interconnected nature we are all as strong as the weakest link in supply chains, in who we do business with. We are all only as strong as the weakest link. Therefore, I think it's appropriate that we regulate minimum standards to bring everybody up to a certain basic level.
How concerned should smaller businesses be about this, or individuals, about possibly being targeted? And what can and should they do?
A ransomware attack can be very random. For example, malware can be implanted in software that gets distributed between and among companies. Malware can be implanted in software designed to promote cybersecurity, and that software gets purchased by various different companies, small businesses, large businesses, and could then be activated in a very random, haphazard way. We've seen this before. And so those businesses that tend to house large amounts of data, personal data, like university records, hospital records, for example, bank records, are targets for potential ransomware attacks. But ransomware can also take a very random nature. No one really is immune. No one should think they are immune or safe from the possibility of a ransomware attack.
So if I've got a small business, or I'm just a guy who's got an email account and uses the internet, what kinds of things should I be doing to make sure I'm safe?
There are firms, there are experts that can help even small businesses to with certain basic best practices to protect yourself against a cyber attack. Just like you'd hire somebody around the house to assess whether or not you need more security at the front door, in your locks, in your driveway, in your windows. There are firms that can advise you about very basic protections you can take to protect your own cybersecurity. And protection of cybersecurity is as important as physical safety these days, given the extent to which we depend upon systems online for how we do business, our privacy, how we shop, how we apply for schools, for example. And so this is pretty basic stuff.
We hear about these attacks every now and then, and certainly there are some high-profile attacks. I suspect what we hear about is just the tip of the iceberg. Should there be a reporting requirement so we have a better understanding of the scope of this problem?
Well, you suspect right. And reporting requirements are a little complicated. We encourage victims of cyber attacks to come forward and report them to CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is part of my old department, DHS. We encourage reporting to law enforcement like the FBI. But we also don't want victims to feel like if they report, they are highlighting their own vulnerability, and they might lose business. They're concerned to reveal a vulnerability, that they were a victim of attack. So we, in government, we do try to guarantee confidentiality, but we do strongly encourage those victims to come forward, report them to DHS, report them to law enforcement, so that we can all see the larger picture. And if you report it to government, investigators, those with the larger picture in view, can very often tell you more about your own attack. This is who did it. This is how it can be remedied. This is how it can be repaired. And we can help you get your data back.
You have been sounding the alarm about these threats for years since you're with DHS. And I'm curious, how has this threat evolved? Has it been a constant uptick? Has it spiked since Russia invaded Ukraine. How has this picture changed over the years?
Well, I'm not reading daily intelligence reports anymore, and I've not done that for 5 years. My strong impression from both when I was in government, now that I'm a private citizen, is that cyber attacks are steadily rising. The bad cyber actors are increasingly aggressive, creative, tenacious, and we have yet to turn the corner on defense. We've yet to turn the corner on figuring out how to erect a perfect wall against a cyber intrusion. And so there's a lot more to be done here to turn this corner before it gets better. Right now it's getting worse, and that's even before the latest event, the world event with Russia invading Ukraine. Russia is one of the more sophisticated and aggressive bad cyber actors. I am not surprised that the FBI, our government, are seeing these scanning and probing activities out there coming from a Russian platform. I'm not surprised at all. In fact, I wondered why we had not seen that sooner.
David London is managing director of the Chertoff Group, a Washington, D.C.-based company that helps businesses and organizations build and manage programs to defend against physical and cyber attacks. With the war now raging in Ukraine, we asked David London about the threat of cyber attacks from Russia.
Yeah, so, I mean, the threat is real among, within our country, given the Russian aggression in Ukraine, which has certainly put it into sharper relief. But Russia has proven both its capability and its intent in cybersecurity. It has a history of disruptive attacks. You only have to look as far as 2015 and 2016 when it attacked the Ukrainian grid. The first time the power grid was successfully disrupted through cyber means. And more recently in 2017, in the NotPetya attack, which was the costliest cyber attack in history. Estimates are at least $10 billion. And one of the issues with Russia is oftentimes these attacks have much broader blast radius than is necessarily intended. The NotPetya attack, which originated in Ukraine, ultimately had global implications, and disruption. So it's not really clear why Russia hasn't fully deployed its sort of multi-domain attacks, where it's conducting, kinetic attacks in the Ukraine and then more disruptive attacks in cybersecurity. It has proven its ability to do that. But I think that's what the U.S. government and the commercial sector is most concerned about, sort of that next phase in the aggression may occur.
There are lots of private sector industries that I suspect could really pose problems if they're attacked. Banking, healthcare, aviation, certainly the power grid and utilities. Is there a sector that you think is most vulnerable or most likely to be attacked?
Yeah, so I think those are two separate questions, but certainly they're related. I mean, we work a lot with financial institutions and financial sector technology providers that help power the banking sector. They are very much, we believe, in the crosshairs, in part because, although the U.S. has imposed sanctions, it's actually the banking sector that has to operationalize those sanctions. Russia, in its effort, in retribution for these sanctions, would likely target the large banks and supporting organizations. As I alluded to just a moment ago, the grid is also, an area of concern, given both previous activity in the Ukraine grid and also other, reconnaissance that has occurred most recently, that the FBI has reported on, both, you know, historically, but also more recently around energy companies and the level of scanning and reconnaissance in order to, you know, in order to potentially sort of map vulnerabilities and areas of exposure within the grid. I'd also say that those two sectors are also some of the best prepared. They're aware that given their threat profile and risk surface, that they need to take cybersecurity seriously and have substantial regulatory obligations as well to build a mature cybersecurity program.
If this all sounds like some Netflix thriller, well, we posed that question to former Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, and this is what he told us.
It seems like the potential scenarios could make a good Hollywood movie about a power grid going down or flight control systems going down. To you,
well, I mean, that's not a movie. That's, you know, that could be reality given the interconnected nature of our systems.
And so that leads to my next question to you. What's the greatest threat or what's the greatest concern we should have here?
I have been saying for a while now that cyberspace is the new battlefield in the 21st century. Cyber attacks occur daily, hourly, globally, and in our country. There are nations that engage in covert cyber attacks back and forth on a constant basis. So this is the new battle space. We are, put Ukraine aside for the moment, we are increasingly seeing cyberspace as the place where nations do battle through covert actors, through actors who are acting at the behest of the government, not directly part of the government. And so this is something that we're going to be living with for a very long time. And as I said earlier, so much of our defenses lie with the private sector because cybersecurity is principally a private sector endeavor.
In terms of national security, if Russia does attack with some kind of cyber warfare, what is an appropriate response from the U.S. government?
Good question. I've been asked this a number of times now. First, we have U.S. Cyber Command, which is part of the Department of Defense. We have NSA, which is part of the Department of Defense, that exist for the defense of our cyber systems here in the United States, and has the potential to engage in offensive cyber actions against other nations. The question that I think is on many people's minds today is, under what circumstances can a cyber attack constitute an act of war? The best answer legally that I see is that if a cyber attack is large scale and causes some form of physical destruction on a large scale or the loss of life, that can be considered an act of war, which would warrant a response that is proportionate but not necessarily in kind. Put another way, if there were a cyber attack on this country that caused large-scale physical destruction, you know, an explosion, for example, we would be justified in responding against the bad actor, assuming we can identify the bad actor, in a proportionate way, but not necessarily another cyber attack. So you could respond with a kinetic strike to take out the bad actor's ability to launch another cyber attack again.
Last question, a non-cyber question. Vladimir Putin seems to be hinting at a possible nuclear threat. So, first of all, how likely do you think that is to happen? And secondly, do you think he continues ramping up assaults, maybe expanding the battlefield, and will he continue to do that until the U.S. gets involved in some way?
I have to say, anything is possible. I have to say that I am less concerned about some form of nuclear attack, more concerned about continued attacks on innocent civilians, continued attacks on civilian in cities, targeting facilities marked children, where children are being kept in a safe space. These are missile launches that violate basic concepts of the laws of war. You do not target civilians in this way. You do not target innocent civilians. I am concerned that as Putin's army, is being turned back by the Ukrainians, and this is an extraordinary story in and of itself, Putin is going to double down on his attacks on innocent civilians in Ukraine to try to bring that country to its knees. His army has performed very poorly going into Ukraine on the ground. We see these reports of thousands of Russian military killed in battle by the Ukrainians. And as Putin sees that, he's going to become frustrated and intensify his attack on innocent civilians through a number of different means. And so I'm more concerned about that, very concerned about that. And it's up to NATO and the Western world, I think, to really intensify our own response to this. The sanctions, supplying the Ukrainians with what they need to fight back against the Russian military.
Secretary Johnson, thanks so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm a big fan of radio, as you know.
Our thanks to former Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson for his time and expertise, and to David London from the Chertoff Group. 880 In Depth is a production of WCBS News Radio 880. Peter Haskell and myself, Tim Scheld, are the executive producers. Listen to us on your time, on demand. Just search for WCBS 880 In Depth wherever you get your audio. Thank you for listening, and please be safe.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.